Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Yes, Bruce Springsteen at Croke Park in Dublin last night. From looking at social media, I nearly felt like the only person who wasn't there. By all accounts, it seemed and looked like an incredible gig. Kieran travelled from Clare last night. Kieran was in Croke Park, queuing, I believe, Kieran, since 5 p.m.
Oh yeah, we entered the Clanliff Road just a few minutes after five. So I put it to you this way, Andrew: if it was your standard concert or an All Ireland final with a similar capacity, we would have been in our seats comfortably before 6:15. But it ended up being 7:25 because of just the shambolic organisation.
So, sir, 2 hours and 25 minutes.
Yeah. 2 hours 20 thereabouts, yeah. I mean, what you had was, because the concert kicked, we had been told it would start at 7, that would have been well advertised. It started a bit later as a nod, possibly, to so many people still not being there, but it did kick off. We were in the stadium by the third or fourth song. For other people, it was the seventh song. And yeah, you'd be aware of other concerts, other events in Croke Park, matches being delayed because people were late leaving the pubs, etc. There was none of that. As I said, we were on the Clanliff. We were walking down it as usual. Usually after Jones's Road, there's a turn to the right you would have if you were going into the Cusack. But we had heard something about, we noticed that there was a queue forming in the middle, and we went down to a steward at the top of the laneway that you would normally be able to access and say, sorry, are you meant to form a queue here? So they said, oh yeah. Like, there was nobody, there was not one steward on the main road of Clanliff. They were all just, any of them that were there were just at the top of a laneway. And there was nobody with a megaphone like you would normally get in an event like that, right to the Cusack or Red Route. There was no one in charge. No one knew what was going on. So people formed an orderly queue. It didn't move for about half an hour. Then when we finally got past Jones's Road, you didn't know if you kept on walking in the middle of the road or you could see that there was a queue forming on the right pathway. And so we just continued going along. But what happened was, when we finally got to the bottom of Clanliff, I think we were coming on to what's the Ballyboro Road, there seemed to be one steward who at least knew something, and he was saying, second turn to your right, Cusack, second turn to your right. But it actually wasn't. It was the third or fourth. It was just a place called Foster Avenue, which was a complete bottleneck. It seemed like, I think everybody in the Cusack had to go this red route. I think people who were going on to the pitch. And we were all convening. We were all trying to get through to this one entry. And it was shambolic. So there just was no communication compared to, I mean, I'm a regular goer to Croke Park between GA and several gigs.
Yeah.
I've never seen it so chaotic. And thankfully, Bruce was so good. And it was a 3-hour set. So we only missed maybe 10-15% of it. But if it was your standard, even top acts who maybe only play for 2 hours, you would have felt completely cheated.
And you were there early. I mean, you must have been there when it opened then, if you were there at 5 o'clock.
Well, you see, that's it. I don't know. Did the gates not open at 5 o'clock? The turnstiles there, because we were well on course. And there was a lot of people like us. I mean, this wasn't a mad dash. So it was crazy. And as I said, we were probably too honest forming in that queue. But there was people behind us in that queue too. It was just shambolic. There was no stewarding. As I said, any steward was just at the top of laneways that you would normally access to go to Croke Park, but they were all blocked. Now, you were able to, we had no problem getting out of Croke Park. Maybe it was different for others, but we were able to use those, the regular entrances that you would have to access the Cusack, and we made it back to the car very fast, but it was ridiculous going in. Thankfully Bruce was so good, it didn't spoil.
It made up for it. Well, good, and I'm glad to hear you didn't miss much of it. I've been talking to other people who missed quite a number, I think, of his songs, you know, or of the set when they went in. Stay with us, Kieran. I think I've Shane O'Donoghue is on the line, international golf broadcaster. Shane, you were a witness, I suppose, to the queues yesterday evening.
Andrea, and good to talk to you. Very enjoyable concert when we got in with ease, I have to be honest. We were very lucky. We got a gift of a pair of tickets for the Hogan Stand, and that came through a friend. We hadn't intended going. Both of us are big fans of Bruce. We've seen him, you know, abroad and in Ireland over the years. But, you know, we kind of know what the show is, and So we weren't, you know, we were kind of betwixt and between as to whether, you know, we would go, but mm-hmm. we said, no, look, it's an opportunity to go. So we had the good fortune on a number of counts living near Croke Park. We're about 2 miles away. So, you know, we kind of pitched up late enough, took a taxi, and things were kind of looking a bit iffy around Fairview, which is problematic anyway, with traffic. So we just walked through Ballybock and onto Clonliff Road. And there seemed initially to be, you know, a good atmosphere. There were neighbours out with kids selling stuff, you know, which is funny.
Yeah.
And their parents, you know, pretending to be on mobile phones, saying, yes, Bruce, okay, right, yes, they're on their way, you know, in front of us. And it was good crack. But all of a sudden then, as your previous caller kind of mentioned, that area around Foster Avenue and just across from Distillery, that's where there was clearly a problem. There were thousands of people confused, frustrated, and not quite irate at that point. But, you know, we're talking near enough to 7 o'clock. We were able to cut it fine because, you know, for obvious reasons, we were living locally and what have you. But this was different. I'd not seen anything like this before, and having been to so many different GAA matches in Croke Park and what have you, you know, you've never had a problem there.
And the ticket, Shane, yesterday I had a friend send on tickets because I was thinking of going, but they were, it said very clearly on the ticket, this was starting at 7 p.m.
Oh yeah, on the dot. Bruce doesn't mess around. There's no warm-up act, as in support act. It's Bruce. That's why you're paying big money. And he delivers a show which lasts around 3 hours, and he goes live at 7. And you know, and he typically is not 1 second late. But this was very near 7, and I said, "All right, there's thousands here who have not gotten in yet."
Now you know yourself the nature, Shane, of Irish people typically is sure if it's at 7, we'll get there. We'll leave the pub maybe around 6, and we'll tip up, and sure we'll be in for 7. We'll get a drink, and all will be fine. But to Kieran's story, sure, Kieran was there. He was trying to get in from 5.
Couple of hours, yeah. So he can understand the frustration, but there were huge queues, you know, on this street on Clonliffe Road, trying to gain access through that point, which I think was the Red Gate. So, look, luckily we were able to bypass it and then turn onto Jones's Road and have the luxury of going in the main entrance and all the rest of it, you know. So we were very, 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 very fortunate. And at that point, just before entering, you know, I noticed over the bridge that there was a barrier there for obvious reasons. They were going to be shepherding people into Croke Park from that particular exit or entry point. But it was very, very, very busy. And I said, well, this show is going to get delayed. And being a journalist and sometimes social media person, I thought I would just contextualize it a little and kind of state what I saw. I mean, I don't know all the facts at that point, but there was clearly frustration and there was clearly going to be a delay. And it was absolutely evident that Bruce would be late on stage. So, you know, I just recorded this little video, which then turned into being ambushed by Keith Duffy and a few more of his friends. It turned into a very funny little scene. I just threw that up on Twitter, and it's still gathering momentum.
Like, right, yeah.
I've never had such a reaction. I've never had such a reaction to anything I've ever posted.
Right.
I'm a boring golf person, you know what I mean? So anyway, we gained entrance, but I can tell you we'd lovely seats, like up in the stand. But it was clear that there were still lots of people trying to get in. Bruce went on between 7:12 and 7:15. And then I would say by 8 o'clock, most of the crowd had finally gained admittance into Croke Park.
So right up till 8 p.m., Shane.
You know, so they were not getting value for money. And something went wrong. I don't quite know what, but something.
Okay. Well. I came in this morning to a number of emails from people. You know, often they do over the weekend. If there's something on, they'll get in touch and email. And particularly, I suppose, when they're disgruntled or not happy. And that's how this, I suppose, has come about today. I've a message in from Pat. Pat says he was a volunteer steward yesterday. Mostly had a fab experience for me and audience. My section age was about profile age. He says about 40 to 70. Two issues that came up regularly. Now, this is Pat, who's a volunteer steward there. People who left the pinch to go to the bar ended up back in the wrong level, not because they were locked. Secondly, a lot of premium level customers did not get directed to the correct entry gates and were then severely frustrated. Bruce is just the perfect entertainer, regards Pat. That's Pat's point. More listeners too getting in touch about the issue of the drinks apparently for sale. We queued, from We queued from 1:15. That couldn't be right, could it? To get into the pit. Bruce was brilliant. The only drink available was Rockshore Lager. €7 for 330 mils. You couldn't bring 7-Up or water into the pitch because you might affect the grass. No problem with beer, according to this texter. I don't know, Shane. I know you work in the sports world. That couldn't be right.
What I experienced, and certainly my wife experienced when she went for a drink for us when we arrived in, because I was busy putting up this tweet. She went and said, she'll get the drinks. What'll you have? I said, I'll have a lager. Just a lager. A pint of lager in a plastic glass, fine. And it took a while. It was a long queue up in the particular level that we were at. But she came back and she said, you're not going to believe this, but my pint of lager cost €24. Why? Because number one, they were not serving draft lager. Number two, the only beer on offer was Rockshore, which I've never tasted before. I've heard about it. But she had to buy two bottles at €8 a throw to try and fill the glass, which she didn't do. So she bought a third one just to try and, you know, top it up.
Yeah.
And there may have been a little bit left over in the bottle. All told, €24. A little bit later on, I went to get a drink for her. She actually came with me. We took a little bit of a breather during one of the songs we don't like. And we went into the bar. And she said, I'll have a Prosecco. Well, actually, it was all that was on offer was Prosecco, and that's fine. And what ended up was to fill one small plastic cup, which is no bigger than a kind of a medium latte-sized container, right?
Yeah.
You needed two glasses of Prosecco. They opened the bottle of Prosecco, proceeded to fill two Snipes, effectively, and then put it into the glass, €9 each. €18 it costs for the drink. So when you talk about sport events, which I have attended all over the world, and America is a killer for this.
Yeah. Okay.
It's outrageous, the prices. Look, I just thought it was over the top.
You're not the only one, Shane. Expressing that view, and particularly actually a lot of people getting in touch about drink. We have reached out to the promoters and to Crow Park actually. So if we've any update from them, we'll bring that to you. Shane, stay with me for a moment. I think we've got Jane on the line. Jane, were you at the concert last night?
Yes, I was. I got a train in with my friend from Southside. It's Connolly. And just had a drink and walked up just about 6:20 to the grounds. And I was going into the Foster Avenue area as well. And the whole road slowed down as a result. And we said, oh, what's happening up here? And we were trying to find the red route, but there was no sign for the red route. And someone said, oh, you have to go on the yellow route. And we were like totally confused. And then the steward said, oh, yeah, red route in here. But nobody could move. We were all like cattle trying to get into this one road. And so we were very, very slowly moving along. And it made me quite anxious. So many people squashed up against us. We were all going down this tiny little road. And everybody started saying, this is crazy. Bruce is on in, you know, so it started getting to 1:45, 2:10. He's on in 10 minutes. We're going to miss the very beginning.
And what time did you start queuing, Jane? Like, it wasn't that you went terribly late.
No, I think we went into that road. I think we came down about 6:20 down onto the Clonliffe Road. So we got in just, I think it was 7:10 in the end, after being all that, just on that road, that tiny Foster's Avenue, trying to get in, which was absolutely crazy. And I'm a massive fan of Bruce Springsteen. I went to Slane. I'm a huge fan. I thought, if I missed the beginning, and I paid a lot of money for the seats as well, I will go mad. But there was loads of people down the other side who were going on the pitch, who after queuing down Foster's Avenue had to queue again round on the left. So when you got into the stadium, there was like a vacuum. The atmosphere was a bit flat because so many more people hadn't come in yet. And they were
sure, they're all trying to get in. And what was it like when you were leaving, Jane?
So when we were leaving, we all had to go back the exactly same way again. I said, this is absolutely crazy. So when we left, I pulled the steward aside and I said, what went on tonight here? This is absolute madness. And he said, yeah, what's happened is they closed off one of the roads and made you all go down this one road. So he opened that road again that was meant to be open, and then we could freely go right out that way. So So I said, that's madness. Why did
so
they do that?
You were told there was one particular route or road closed off, and that seemed, that's what you were told by a steward yesterday.
Yeah. Might have been the residential thing. I don't know, but it was crazy. It put me off going to Croke Park ever again for concerts. And then afterwards, we got to Connolly, one dart to Bray with 1,000 people trying to get on. Absolute mayhem. There's people hyperventilating. The staff on the train station were letting people go more and more, trying to squeeze in. There was a fight on the train. People were going mad. And I was like, who in this day and age in a European country, goes to see a gig like Bruce Springsteen and has to endure this? There was so much anxiety. I had to get off the train in the end. I couldn't stand it. And it kind of ruined the end of the night for me. I came home really flat, after. I mean, he was amazing. But
you enjoyed it otherwise, aside from all of that?
Superb. Absolutely superb.
Just on the stewards, listener here who actually works in Croke Park has got in touch to say there was terrible organisation of stewards and we don't know what the problem was. I actually work at the premium level in Croke Park and it killed the food and bar revenue for us. Another listener makes the point, somebody needs to figure out why there was an additional deposit charged for the cans that we can't return. Oh, this is obvious. This is, the deposit return scheme. So who's going to benefit from all of the empty cans? For events like this, the deposit should be waived for people attending and the supplier pay and seek reimbursement afterwards, suggests this listener. Philip is on the line. Philip, you had an issue. You were listening to Shane actually talking about the price of the drink at the gig last night. Was there an issue getting drinks?
Well, no. I mean, Andrea, first of all, obviously, I'd like to say, it was a great concert. And unlike most people that you're who've been talking to there, actually, I had no problem getting in at all. Now, I did arrive around 6 o'clock. I mean, so the whole thing was fairly well coordinated. But I could understand, a half an hour later, when you've got a huge rush of people, you're actually more, I think you're, you're hyperventilating. So you're not listening. But they did have announcements going to say, if you had pitch tickets, here's where you go. So I actually found the whole experience of getting in and getting out not a problem at all. My issue per se would be, obviously, as you rightly say there on the pitch, I've done events myself before, so I'm quite familiar with it in relation to it. And the idea of giving exclusivity to beer, you mightn't like the beer, but it often does actually happen, let's be frank about it. I wasn't aware of how much the prices were up actually in the stand, but they're obviously the same. So we were being charged $7.15 for one of the beers, which in the can. And true enough, and I was sort of looking around here, so I just came myself. But when you come yourself, you're observant more of what's going on. So I had plenty of time to see what the issue was. And what they have down in the actual pitch, it isn't actually bar set up. They have little sort of portable units, which are, so but there's no water. And they also have some of, a bit like your Deliveroo guys, going around with the cool cans. So you can actually buy them from them when they're circulating around. The issue was that there was absolutely nothing there for recycling. So you go along there, and I bought a beer, and it was $7.15. So normally in events like this, you're usually, the cost of drink is round up. It's either it's either probably now $7.58. You know the way they always do it. So when they come along and charge you $7.15, you're then assuming, okay, I'm paying for the can. Now, I can understand why they actually only allow used cans on the actual pitch, because bearing in mind, if you're bringing some of those plastic cups full of beer, by the time they get to wherever your friends are, probably a third of it has been lost and spilt. You know the way when you're carrying
Yeah, I know.
And the dilemma you face there is because we're walking on plastic sheeting or plastic tires or whatever you want to call it, obviously you're going to have an awful lot of spillage. You could have people falling and slipping and everything else like that. So cans make it a lot easier. So I'm not here to sort of go against the company of actually only using cans as a principle. What I am against, when the new regulation has come in, absolutely nothing there for recycling purposes, which meant that you're being paid. We were paying the 15 cents.
Somebody sent me in a photograph, all right, Philip, of the sign, the Rockshore sign, and it says that there's the charge for the deposit.
You've been paying for the deposit. So you pay the 15.
But you have nowhere to put it back, bring it back.
But I asked the people up there who were doing it, I said, what's the story? Can you exchange for another one? Are you allowed to exchange and get? And they said, oh, no. And I said, well, where then do you leave the actual, if you just want to dispose? Because you know yourself, they have to be obviously the full can. It can't be crushed can or whatever. So are there any points around where you can just obviously drop it off?
Like, you didn't see any. Okay.
Exactly. So there was none of that. So at the end coming out, Andrea, the place was littered, is no exaggeration, with crushed cans.
So nobody was going to get the deposit back.
There was nobody there, but yet they took the money. They took the 15 cents off everybody.
Okay.
Now, I'm not against it. It's just the principle.
Yeah, okay. Well, we put the call into Crow Park to find out what's the story. Or are they going to get the deposit return, the machine or the something there, at least, that people will be able to return them. Deirdre, you were at the gig as well.
Andrea, thank you very much for having me on. First of all, I'm going to say that it was an amazing concert, and Bruce always does, on such a fantastic show. The fans were just in awe of him. It was chaotic. The scenes on Jones's Road, on Foster Avenue, it was chaotic. It took us 45 minutes to get from Drumcondra to St. James's Avenue. It took us then, when we got into the concert grounds itself, it took us another 45 minutes because there was manual checks at the stiles for the tickets.
No automated.
Caused a huge amount of mayhem. There was then bag checks, and then there were stamps. For anybody going onto the pitch, you had to have your arm stamped. So, like, we were already on the pitch side of Croke Park. We were already going into the pitch. The stamping of the arms, I thought, completely unnecessary. But, you know, it was just chaotic. And what I found was that the Gardaí and security were not in unison with one another. When you would ask a member of security where X was, like, when we got into Croke Park, there was no sign for the pitch. It was all Cusack stand that was coming up on the LED sign as you just walked in, nothing to say indicate where the entrance of the pitch was. So I asked a member of the security and they told me to go right. And a guard came over and said to me, no, you go left. So I obviously followed what the guard had said to me. We went to our left. Then we were being tunnelled in through C tunnel. When myself and my husband got to C tunnel, they stopped people going in and they were diverting us on. We queued so much, we just refused and we said we wanted to go through. So I won't say we broke through, but we insisted that we got through. See, they did let us through. So that was, you know, the previous speakers have spoken very eloquently about what has happened on the Red Route. It was a shambles from start to finish. But inside, it just was the same, in my opinion. Like, when I went to the bathroom, I came back and they wouldn't let me in the route that I'd exited to go from. So again, a member of An Garda Síochána came over to me and escorted me back to my husband when the security wouldn't let me through the sea tunnel again that I'd exited out from. You know, I just felt there was, you know, nobody knew what was going on. My husband didn't want to drink cans of Rockshore. He doesn't drink cans of beer. He wanted a pint, so he went outside. First time he was allowed in. The second time he wasn't allowed in with
us. It just depends who you met, nearly.
Yes, it was dependent on who you met. We got split up momentarily and I knew our meeting point was always 309, the steps up to the 309 area. I couldn't actually, there were so many people at the steps very top where it says 309. I actually couldn't see the number. So I asked a member of security, where's the 309 area? And they did not know. They had not a clue what was going on around them. Which just made it, you know, a very...
And I'm surprised at that now, because I've been to gigs, other gigs over the years in Croke Park and, you know, Westlife and Beyonce, Rihanna, you know, even Garth Brooks, I suppose, more recently, and I don't recall this at all. So I don't know what the situation was with regards to stewards, or as one of our other callers earlier suggested, Deirdre, was it maybe the one route way was closed? We're trying to find out for you, though. As I said, we've contacted Croke Park headquarters and we've contacted the promoters as well to see if there's any update. This listener says, we went out to buy water just before the concert started from a Rockshore stand. They were completely sold out of bottles of water. And Robin Kilkenny suggests that everybody should have gone to see Bruce in Kilkenny. It was well organised. There was no queue at the bars. It was easy to get out and have a pint in the beautiful Kilkenny bars afterwards. Just very civilised, suggests Rob. 087 1400 106. Thanks a million to all of our listeners for getting in touch with us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.